welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 2001. This is issue number 201, and I'm your host, Fred Vobey, the publisher of the DX Audio Service. My address is 706 McKenzie Drive, that's M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. You can contact me by telephone at my new telephone number, which is 419-228-6223. That's 419-22-VOBE, V-O-B-B-E. Please change my phone information, and if you talk to any members, remind them that my telephone number has changed. Again, that new telephone number is 419-228-6223. That's 419-22-VOBBE. The fax number is 419-221-1609, and the action line, if you're a member, is 419-224-1609. The best time to reach me is usually in the early evenings or on weekends Eastern Standard Time. If you're on the Internet, you can send me email at fredv, that's F-R-E-D-V, at nrcdxas.org. And on the web, we're at the newly redesigned www.nrcdxas.org. If you'd like to become a member of the DX Audio Service and live in the United States of America, the cost is $28. To members in Canada, the subscription rate is $32. And to Europe and elsewhere, it's $40. Those prices are also the renewal rates. Tapes are sent via first-class mail, and you keep your cassettes. If you'd like to subscribe, make a check payable to the National Radio Club, Incorporated, and send them to me at the address in Lima that I just mentioned in the introduction. Please note that if you send in a payment for the old rate, your subscription will be adjusted, meaning that you won't get all 12 issues until the balance is paid. Be sure you have the correct amount when you mail in your renewal or a subscription. That's 28 U.S., 32 Canada, and 40 elsewhere. Well, you'll note that this issue is coming to you just a little bit early, and that's because I'm leaving for North Dakota to spend some time with family over the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope that you and your family have a lot to be thankful for over the Thanksgiving holiday. And from my family to yours, we wish you the best this holiday season and throughout the new year. Let's swing it right over to Jerry Starr with a look at the AM Switch. Jerry?
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. Reference number 518 begins with a lot of call interchanges, including many calls being assigned to newly licensed stations. On 1050, WBNC in Conway, New Hampshire becomes WXMT. 1230, the new station in Waycross, Georgia will be WWGA. Also on 1230, the new station in Herman, Maine will be WNZT, and we'll get to that station in just a moment. 1340, the new station in VZ, Maine will be WNZS. And on 1400, the other new station in VZ, Maine will be WWNZ. 1430 WMYS, Indianapolis, Indiana, changing to WXNT. 1490 KVLL in Woodville, Texas, becomes KWUD. And on 1590 KROY, Victorville, California, changing to KATJ. One new station was granted. As we mentioned above, they already had the call assigned on 1230 in Herman, Maine. They will be 1,000 watts daytime, 600 watts night, and a non-directional antenna. And one item of interest in otherness on 1550 WRHC in Coral Gables, Florida. This silent station has returned to the air and has returned to this frequency. Their move to 1560 several years ago was made without the final FCC authorization, and thus they were forced to return to 1550, where they are presently running 10,000 watts in the daytime, 500 watts at night, separate patterns day and night. At least that's what they're licensed for. What they're actually running, no one has any way of knowing. Moving on to reference number 519, two call letter changes. On 1580, WJVA South Bend, Indiana becomes WHLY. And on 1620, their X-band station, WHLY, changes to WDND. In otherness, on 900 WURD, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this silent station has been heard recently testing on the air with oldies. 1240 WHFA, Poignet, Wisconsin, is silent. 1510 WJKN, Jackson, Michigan, this silent station has returned to the air. 1570 WGSR in Fernandina Beach, Florida, is also back on the air. And kind of a strange situation on 1600 KAKK in Walker, Minnesota. Monitoring reports indicate this station has moved to 1570 kilohertz, but we can't find any record that the FCC has authorized them to make that move. So if you live in that area, you might want to let us know if that move has actually taken place. And finally, on to reference number 520, call letter changes 540 KSRK. Carmel Valley, California becomes KYAA. 900 WDLS in Wisconsin. Dells, Wisconsin becomes WIBU. 930 WCNR, Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania becomes WHLM. Here's the other half of that California call swap on 1200 KYAA in Soquel, California becomes KSRK. 1230 KWUN Murray, Utah changes to KJQS. 1660 KAXW Merced, California becomes KTIQ. And on 1700 WAFN Miami Springs, Florida will change to WJCC. We have applications for two new stations, including one of high power on 760. Application for a new station in Las Vegas, Nevada, with 50,000 watts day and night, directional antenna nighttime only. And on 1470 in Kachina Village, Arizona, 50,000 watts daytime, but only 350 watts at night, also directional nights only. And one otherness item of interest on 1370 WKFD in Wickford, Rhode Island, gone for good. The license has been canceled and the call has been deleted. And that wraps up AM Switch for this month. We'll see you in 30 days with a bunch more stuff from the broadcast band. Right now, let's head to Florida, where it's a little bit warmer than it is up here in Ohio. Here's John Bowker.
Well, thanks again, Jerry, and best wishes from our family to yours for the coming holiday season, and as we used to say, to everyone within the sound of this microphone. But fortunately, with modern technology being what it is, these microphones no longer make much sounds. So we'll just move ahead. Well, today brings us part two of the 680 dial position as we make our way across the country. And then more as it's going to turn out, you'll see. Sometime back, it was mentioned that 620 was my favorite frequency, and I guess that's true, probably, because it was the frequency that I got my start on. But 680 was my shot at having 50,000 watts behind me. And we'll get to that later today, too. We're going to start today just a bit west of the Mississippi River in the city that was made famous, I guess, by an aspirin tablet. But KFEQ wasn't always in St. Joseph. You know, it was founded by a bank in the 1920s in the town of Oaks, Nebraska. And its dial position was 1120, and then it moved several times before it settled in on 680. But by 1929, it was on 680. And we'll listen to it as we begin the December 2001 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Pause for identification on the Royals Radio Network.
Royals Baseball and the Sports Leader is sponsored in part by UPCO, Del Mar Tire Service, St. Joseph Auto Parts, and your area independent Lennox dealers on News Radio 68 KFEQ, St. Joseph, Missouri.
Red Boone, the batter, and a pitch from Magnante, a little bit high.
And since this was among the early broadcasters, we'll give him another shot.
Listening to 680 KFEQ, St. Joseph, Missouri.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Southwest now to hear one of the several recordings made during the NRC and DXAS convention in 1998. Heck, I'm still using a ballpoint pen that Dale and Wanda Ham gave away when they hosted that fun time.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Herron. Next hour, I've got some Gary Stewart coming up for the gang out of Universal Toyota.
Woo!
Man. Right now, let's get up to date with KKYX award-winning news.
680 AM, KKYX. Good afternoon. It's just after 4 o'clock. I'm Mark Williams with KKYX News.
Hey, speaking of KKYX, it may be that that is one of the country and western stations that our friend up in Brantford was asking about at 680 on the dial. There are really only two that are on the air much at night. And I don't know if you're going to be able to pick up San Antonio from Brantford. I suppose it's very possible at 680. The other being in Newfoundland. That, you know, it's sort of a toss-up, I guess. Those are the two country and western stations, at least that my log shows. Now, here's a recording that Linda and I made in the pouring rain. Happily, we were inside the motorhome. This goes back to 1994. But it was the only station in the vicinity around the state capital of Montana that gave a legal ID on the hour that we were tuned in and were able to do this. We had to stick around overnight to get the rest of them. And incidentally, at 680 on the dial, there are only three daytimers at all. And this is the first of the three.
Listening to the capital city's original oldies station, 68 KKGR East Helena. All oldies, all the time.
Well, we're certainly going to be zigzagging our way across the land this month. But at least our dial is stuck at 680 as we go south 1,000 miles from Helena and enter the land of enchantment.
AM 680, KWKA, Clovis, Port Dallas.
Mutual News.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, imagine you're lying in bed at 5 o'clock in the morning on April 1st, 1976. Because there I was. The phone rang. It was the NBC personnel department in New York City telling me that under terms of my employment with RCA, I was being transferred from the Sarnoff Research Laboratories, where I had been since, 1953, to the radio station WRC in Washington. And they were sure I was going to be very upset. I thought I'd gone to heaven, if truth be known. They wanted me there by 12 noon that day. And in less than an hour, I had an overnight bag packed, was on the road for the four-hour drive from my home in New Jersey to Washington. You see, it turned out that the engineers had gone on a work action all over the network. So RCA database was tapped. After all, RCA owned NBC at the time. And they were looking for anybody to work that had an FCC first-class license. And so my assignment was to go to Washington. And there I was at the noon news, working across a double glass about 3 feet from me, a fellow named David Brinkley. I had heard of David Brinkley on the NBC News. He said something like, on the cue line, you look nervous. You're new here. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I don't need you to be nervous. I get nervous all by myself. And he smiled, and that was my total conversation with the man who went on to even greater things on our Blue Network, which, of course, is ABC. But there I was in WRC. I was there about 90 minutes, and then NBC personnel in New York called again and said, hey, you got to be in San Francisco. It turns out there was one man running the AM and FM operation of the NBC-owned station in San Francisco. I got there, I found the FM station, KNAI, and that was operating only with a network line with no local IDs. The AM station was using a backup reel-to-reel tape, I remember, for music, and the announcer having a fit. He didn't like this at all. Reading from a list of songs on the tape, and he wasn't supposed to touch the controls, but there was just nobody there. You see, the engineer by then was sound asleep, because in California, the work action had started at 9 p.m. the night before, and this was already into the second day. That was KNBR, and here's how they sound today.
Barry Radnich here, inviting you to join us when we make a little noise noon to 2 following Rush Limbaugh on KNBR 68, San Francisco, the Sports Leader.
ABC News. Son of a gun, they've even changed to ABC. Oh, goodness, what's happened to us? Well, KNBR is among the few non-directional stations at 680 on the dial. Runs a full 50,000 watts day and night. Except one night in 1976, when I first lowered its power to 5,000 watts, and then in the interest of safety, turned the station off completely. There was a little more to the story than that. I'll have to tell you that story another time. But I was there 54 days, all very exciting. So I have a warm, fuzzy feeling about 680, just the same as I do for 620. Well, we're going to be moving north in our motorhome at this point with all 7 tape recorders hitched to radios, and they're all running. And this will be the second of the 3 daytimers operating at 680 on the dial.
Your radio is tuned to KBRD, Lacey, Olympia, Tumwater.
Wolfhaven International, a sanctuary for 40 wolves, is located about 10 miles south of Olympia on 75 beautiful acres in Tenino, Washington.
All righty, that sounds appealing, doesn't it? Now, Lacey is located within the metro area of Olympia, the state capital, just south of Seattle on the western edge of the state, pretty much. But Washington is a large state, and the town of Omak, it's located in the north-central part of the Evergreen State, just east of the Wenatchee Mountains. It, too, has a voice at 680 on the dial, and it becomes the third and last of the daytimers on this channel.
Local broadcast of Mariners baseball on north-central Washington's sports leader, KOMW Omak, is brought to you by the House of Music and Okanagan Bingo Casino. We'll get underway with the first pitch in about 2 minutes. KOMW, North Central Washington's sports leader.
Do you remember the day that O.J. Simpson was in that low-speed chase in Los Angeles? Well, this next ID was recorded that day, and it was the day that KBRW invited me to broadcast from their Quonset Hut studio in the world's most northern city. Barrow has the only radio station I can identify in the United States that has a perfect 100 audience measurement share. There are just no other stations for hundreds of miles around Barrow. No FM station anywhere in that whole area. So if there is a radio on along the north slope of Alaska between May and September, it has to be tuned to KBRW because, you see, the sun never sets. So there's virtually no nighttime signals coming into town.
Jive Bunny and the Master Mixers, a song called That's What I Like. You are listening to KBRW Barrow. It is 11 o'clock.
National Public Radio News in Washington. I'm Corva Coleman.
Okay, Corva. Now, indeed, that's 10,000 non-directional watts by the Bering Sea. And that wraps up all the stations at 680 in the United States. But wait, there's more. Let's visit our northern neighbor once again. And this time we're going to start in the province of Manitoba.
From 1987, that's the group called Atlantic Star. Good stuff called Always. And heard here on CJOB 68, Manitoba's information station. The time? 4 o'clock.
Good afternoon. In Winnipeg, the temperature is 19 degrees Celsius. I'm Nelson Williams.
And we're going to move east into Ontario.
68 St. Thomas, CHLO.
22 minutes before 7 o'clock with the good guys. The first of a good guy power pack in three in a row. Gary Puckett's Union Gap. Over you.
You know, that was recorded by Scott Feibusch. And on the tape it says 1999. Well, that's when he made the tape, I'm sure. But son of a gun, Scott, That was from the 1950s, and you know it. I had to look it up myself.
CFTR Toronto with Paul Jans in his latest and Send Me a Miracle.
That's a miracle we got that much out of CFTR, if truth be known. But we're going to wrap up this month with another submission from our new friend, Ron Getshire. Let's see what he picked up over in San Juan.
WAPA San Juan. WISO Ponce.
IWI2XSO Mayagüez.
Sí, buenas tardes.
Sí, buenas tardes.
¿Cuál es el nombre tuyo?
Mi nombre es Toki Vega de Vega Baja.
Okay. WAPA, by the way, operates with a non-directional signal. And this concludes another year of the good old DX Audio Service, Fred. Can you believe it was 2 years ago next month we started this latest trip up the dial? We've come, what, 15 AM broadcast channels, if my fingers are correct, in 24 months. I'm not sure what that proves, except by the time we finish up, every one of you will be able to join me here in this idyllic retirement community where we live at 1811 Fort Duquesne Drive. That's D-U-Q-U-E-S-N-A, Duquesne Drive, Sun City Center, Florida, 33573. And if you have email, I'd love to hear from you. I use my amateur radio call, and that is WA2WEN, N as in November, at Juno, JUNO.com. See you next month. And here's Bruce.
1260 KYA, San Francisco.
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest with an update on the war in Afghanistan. Early in the anti-Taliban bombing campaign, government broadcast facilities were primary targets. According to the 2001 World Radio and TV Handbook, the Taliban government's Voice of Sharia was broadcasting on 657, 1107, 1278, and 1600 kilohertz medium wave, plus 7085 and 7200 kilohertz shortwave. News reports have indicated that Taliban radio broadcasts have been successfully terminated and replaced by U.S. military psychological operations broadcasts. Called Commando Solo, they consist of broadcasts from military aircraft outfitted with 10 kilowatt medium wave transmitters, similar to former operations in Kosovo and Haiti. Many DXers will recall the U.S. intervention in Haiti when Radio Democratie went airborne on the former frequency of station 4VEH on 1035 kilohertz. While the medium-wave broadcasts over Afghanistan aren't being heard across the Atlantic, a shortwave signal on 8700 kilohertz upper sideband is being received. According to shortwave circles, this signal is likely broadcast from Diego Garcia, a British island territory located just below the equator in the Indian Ocean. It's believed that the Commando Solo aircraft pick up the broadcasts and relay them on medium wave. According to a propaganda leaflet dropped over Afghanistan, information radio programs can be heard daily on 864, 1107, and 8700 kilohertz between the hours of 5 and 10, and again 17 to 22 hours Afghanistan time. UTC is plus 4.5 hours. The broadcasts are aimed at both the Afghan general population and Taliban supporters. Announcements are in Pashto and Dari, the two primary languages of Afghanistan. They explain the purpose of the bombing and tell citizens about relief aid. Music is played between each announcement, said to be welcomed by Afghan citizens, as the Taliban had banned music and other forms of entertainment from the airwaves. Here's what one of the announcements sounded like, as heard on 8700 kilohertz upper sideband shortwave. You'll hear mentions of the Taliban, Osama bin Laden, and many mentions of America.
شبکه زهرزمی القاعده و حامیان قاتل آن طالبان سعی دارند که بر علیه امریکا جهاد را براه اندازند. اسامه بن لادن میگوید که امریکا و متواقی کشورهای مشترک در مقابل مسلمانان و اسلام میجنگند. اینها همچنان ادعا دارند که مردم غیر نظامی و دیگر جای غیر نظامی بمباردمان میشوند. این دروغ شاخدار است. امریکا کشوری که به اساس آزادی دین و مذهب بنا یافته است. میلیون ها مسلمان در امریکا در صلح و صفا زندگی می کنند. ایالات متحده امریکا به عقیده اسلامی و عنعنات آن عرج و احترام قائل است. امریکا در عمل از اسلام دفاع می کند. از همین لحاظ است که این کشور مسلمانان بازنیا، کوساوو و مقدونیه را کمک کرد و نسبت به همه کشورها کمک‌های بشری آن برای افغانستان بیشتر است. برای رساندن کمک به سومالیا یک تعداد عساکر امریکا جان خود را از دست دادند. هنگامی که کشور کویت مورد حمله قرار گرفت و اشغال شد، ایالات متحده امریکا اولین کشوری بود که به کمک آن شتافت تا این مملکت اسلامی حفاظت شده بود. ما مثل همه مسلمانان به این باور هستیم که همه انسان ها از یک جوهرند. بنی آدم اعضای یک دیگرند که در آفرینش یک جوهرند. تو عضو بدن داورد روزگار دیگر عضوها را نماند خراب. کشورهای مشترک تنها و دهشت افغانان، حامیان و قدرت نظامی آنها را مورد حمله قرار دارد. مراکز تربیه دهشت افغانی و مغاره های آنها را بمباردمان نموده ایم که در آن پنهان می شود. کمک های امدادی را از سیاره پرتاب کردیم تا برای کسانی که از خانه‌های خود فرار کردند و بنابر سالها جنگ و خشکسالی و قحطان غذا مواجه شدند کمک کرده بود. ما به تهیه غذا برای مردم مقصود افغانستان ادامه میدهیم. طالبان ارسال غذا را به داخل افغانستان اجازه نمیدهند. متاسفانه این اعمال طالبان برای اذیت و آزار مردان، جنان و اطفال بیگناه ادامه خواهد کرد. استعمال قوه علیه دهشت افغانان تا زمانی که صلح اعاده گردد ادامه خواهد کرد. دهشت افغانان بر شما ظلم روا داشته و کشورتان را به دعوت طالبان به پایگاه تبدیل نمودند که آفت آن به دیگر ممالک سرایت نموده.
Commando Solo Information Radio on 8700 kilohertz, presumed to originate from Diego Garcia. Music selections are often upbeat, festive, similar to modern Arabic music often heard on Egyptian radio. Plenty of information about U.S. military psychological operations broadcasts can be found on the internet. You can visit television news organization websites or the BBC for archived articles, or just type Commando Solo into your search engine for more information. Plenty has also been written in the International DX Digest column of the National Radio Club's DX News magazine. Back issues are archived on the NRC DXAS website. www.nrcdxas.org. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
Greetings, DXers. Mark Dernberger here with the Clear Channel Band Scan as we begin our 201st broadcast of the DX Audio Service for December 2001. On this, our December broadcast, we feature a slight departure from our traditional Clear Channel Band Scan. And I'm going to read to you an article from Radio Craft for October 1939 entitled Behind the Scenes of a Transatlantic Hookup. Radio men and those who plan to make radio their business will be interested in this absorbing story of how technicians now meet the innumerable problems involved in transoceanic and particularly transatlantic broadcast programs. This article by Eugene Goddess was particularly appropriate in 1939, since the transatlantic shortwave system was to come into such heavy use, reporting the events up to and during World War II. Point-to-point communications was given one of its severest tests during the Czechoslovakian crisis. In 3 weeks, NBC delivered 110 international broadcasts. CBS made 98 foreign pickups, while MBS, Mutual, which made its coverage by playbacks of recorded foreign news broadcasts, contributed 5 European broadcasts. Altogether, that's a total of 213 completed and broadcast foreign programs. One wonders that so many broadcasts could be completed without a serious operating hitch. Considering some of the differences, we find that a point-to-point radio program service must be more dependable than a point-to-point radio telephone service. Once a program is sent, it is gone and there is no resending it. Another difference is that radio programs must be supplied with the high fidelity and quality to which the public is accustomed at the time. And a third difference is the necessity for cue signals and time checks so that the transition period between programs is passed smoothly, thereby eliminating time waste and poor broadcast technique. RCA Communications Incorporated. Engaged in transatlantic voice communications, RCAC supplies a point-to-point radio program service which has the characteristic of message privacy given to radio telegraphic messages. Most of the transatlantic transmissions are sent on short waves between 4 and 22 megacycles and are received on the latest type diversity receivers. To supply infallible service, all programs received for rebroadcasting are transmitted on two frequencies. Both frequencies are connected to a mixer, so if trouble should develop, the troublesome frequency can be faded out and the remaining or safety factor frequency faded in, and the program continued. Since each program is received on two frequencies and each frequency is received by a diversity receiving system composed of three receivers, a single reception of program quality will utilize up to six receivers. Depending on the time of day and the frequency used, the power necessary to cross the Atlantic varies between 5 and 50 kilowatts. Suppose an American network advises RCA that a program is desired from Geneva, Switzerland at 3:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The responsibility for establishing communications lies with RCA, which immediately advises Geneva in a service message that on a certain date, communications will be established on two frequencies at 1945 Greenwich to begin tests for a program which will start at 2015 Greenwich. When the day rolls around, Geneva is called at the time designated over the prearranged frequencies. The receiving station selects one frequency for immediate service, while the other is used as a safety factor frequency. A time check is made by the transmitting studio, in this case the Geneva transmitter, by the American receiving station and the American receiving network to ensure that all points are using the exact same time. Levels are checked at all the important points on the completed circuit. Cues are repeated, the time rechecked, and the testing period is almost up. The stations stand by their respective equipment until the cue is passed, at which time the program starts. Should something go wrong and the Geneva station fail to hear the prearranged cue signal, the Geneva speaker will commence his talk a few seconds after the agreed-upon time. While Switzerland may have trouble in hearing America, the speaker knows he is speaking to America over two frequencies, and more than likely he is being heard. The greater part of the communication between the stations is done in voice and in the English language. The remainder is done in Morse code. the American Telephone and Telegraph Company. Transatlantic radio telephone circuits of the AT&T terminate in London and Paris. Paris serves as the land terminal for France and its colonies, while the remainder of Europe traffics its messages through London. With shortwave transmitters located in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and longwave transmitters at Rocky Point, Long Island, the AT&T continues a service inaugurated back in 1927. For transmitting, twin rhombic shortwave antennas having their long axis pointed toward London are joined in parallel. To prevent the antenna from radiating along both directions of the long axis, a 600-ohm resistance in the form of a stainless steel transmission line is connected at the forwardmost end of each antenna. The antennas, made entirely of open wire, are composed of three wire radiators which make common connections at the extremities of the long axis. Similar to the transmitting antennas in configuration, the receiving antennas differ in that they consist of a single wire, and the 600-ohm dissipation line is replaced by an 800-ohm carbon resistor, which has the effect of suppressing reception from the unwanted or westerly direction. The transmission medium. In general, there are five different types of radio transmission path troubles. 1, magnetic storms. 2, fading. 3, appearance or disappearance of signals due to a shifting of the critical reflected frequency for a given ionospheric layer. 4, abrupt level change due to change in transmission from one ionospheric layer to another. And 5, fade-outs. Magnetic storms can be overcome by the use of long-wave circuits, low-latitude circuits, since the disturbance decreases with latitude, or, if the storm is not too severe, by the use of wide-pattern antennas. From the studies made, the years 1940 and 1941 are predicted to give plenty of trouble as far as magnetic storms are concerned. The quality of the transmission is generally affected by the frequency on which it's made, the higher frequencies being less disturbed by static and noise. The optimum frequency for a transmission at a given time depends on the time of day, the time of year, the status of the solar cycle, and a knowledge of the Earth's magnetic currents. In winter, it's better to work the lower frequencies, while in summer, the higher frequencies are more amenable. The spring and fall equinoxes supply the most troublesome periods. As far as the time of day goes, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time are the hours of excellent conditions. Night hour conditions have been found to be more disturbed than those of the daytime. Solar phenomena have been shown to affect radio circuit disturbances on the Earth, and thus the sun is a source of trouble in transatlantic communications, where the trend is toward overcoming that obstacle, a trend that has become a parade of communication science. And that article first appeared in Radiocraft for October 1939. Next, we'd like to read an article from Broadcast Engineering, December 1965, by George C. Sitz, entitled "Radio Pierces the Great Blackout." Given the events of September 11, 2001, this may not seem like quite the catastrophe, but the fact is that in 1965, AM radio was still predominant, and when the Northeast power grid went down, a lot of radio stations went with it, and a lot of radio service disappeared. The article begins as follows. When the power died in the Northeast, the evening of November 9, 1965, radio stations in the affected area either made or lost their reputations as reliable news sources in a crisis. It was a difficult test, and those stations that passed did so because their engineers were prepared. We chose the New York City area for a closer look at the engineers' role in that crisis, principally because more people and stations were affected there for more hours than in any other area. WCBS was a prime example of preparedness. With studios on the 16th floor of a new building and a remotely controlled transmitter, the station had auxiliary diesel generators with automatic switchover. The transmitter was equipped with a diesel generator to switch over automatically and operate the auxiliary 10-kilowatt transmitter. As power lines died across the Northeast, the auxiliary generators kicked on at the studio, and the 10-kilowatt rig came on at the transmitter site. WABC, according to Chief Engineer Julius Barnathan, was off the air for 15 minutes, the time it took to get the emergency generator going at the transmitter site. The station utilized another gasoline generator to power the radio studio. The phone line was dead, but engineers discovered the business phone to the transmitter worked. A call was made from studio to transmitter to open the line, then the console and transmitter input equipment were connected to the phone terminals, putting the station back in operation. WOR radio was typical of the non-network metropolitan stations partially affected by the power drop, with a transmitter in Carteret, New Jersey, an unaffected area, a studio in Manhattan, and a remote control point in the Empire State Building manned by WOR TV engineers. The station was off the air for a quarter hour. As soon as the power went off, engineers at the remote control point hooked two batteries to a small inverter to power the remote control unit. At the studio, a battery-operated remote broadcast amplifier was put into service. After some hurried patching and connecting, engineers managed to get a line to the transmitter via DC intercom lines. WNEW was more fortunate. Chief Engineer Max Weiner reports two of his maintenance men were about to leave the transmitter when the failure occurred. Again, the transmitter was in a safe area, but the fail-safe feature of the remote control unit kicked the carrier off the air. The men immediately restored the carrier locally and programmed music from a turntable at the transmitter. The station was again fortunate because the phone line held up. Thus, getting back in business for the night was only a matter of getting one of their battery-operated remote broadcast amplifiers connected to the line. Oh, and gathering candles and flashlights. Personnel of WMCA, seeing the lights begin to dim and hearing the turntables change speed, threw the remote control equipment to an emergency supply, preventing any carrier break. Engineers then switched their operation to a standby studio equipped with a battery-operated console and two turntables powered by an inverter. Among New York's other stations affected by the power blackout, WLIB and all other daytimers were approaching scheduled sign-off time and thus remained dark for the duration of the failure. WHOM, a principally Spanish-language operation, used battery equipment to operate studio facilities until their 2 a.m. sign-off time. WQXR, with no emergency power provisions, spent the night silent, the station's first power failure in 25 years. The morning after the blackout was a time for station managers and engineers to analyze the night's operations. As a result, some studios and transmitters are now being equipped with improved power-generating equipment and backup phone line and microwave relays. But in most cases, relatively smooth emergency measures illustrated the careful planning by a handful of engineers for just such a night. The story on the Northeast power blackout of November 1965 bears some eerie parallels to September 11th, 2001, when the AM stations stayed on the air and much of New York's FM service disappeared. And that's your December 2001 DX Audio Service band scan column. I'm Mark Dernberger, the rookie on the DX Audio Service. We take mail at 667 Long Rifle Road, Grand Junction, Colorado, 81503. You can email me at mark@dernberger.com, D-U-R-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R. And that's our last broadcast for the eventful year 2001. We'll be back around the corner with interviews, station tours, another look back at WSM recordings of Clear Channel stations in the early 1970s, and our main staple, the Clear Channel band scans. Until next time, our best wishes for a happy and blessed holiday season. Happy New Year and good listening, DXers.
Big D Sports.
It's Thursday night, October the 4th, 2001, in Houston's Enron Field, and 21-year-old left-hander Wilfredo Rodriguez is facing Bobby Bonds with a 1-1 count.
With the call on ESPN Radio.
Then on Sunday afternoon, October 7th,
Barry Bonds has his 73rd home run of the season today. Top of the fifth inning, Dodgers and Giants are all tied at one.
San Francisco eventually won the game 2-1. Bonds connected in the first inning with the record home run off Dennis Springer on a full count. I'm sorry I never did get to hear a live tape of the home run. Other than that, San Diego's Ricky Henderson got his 3,000 hit to join the club, 3,000 hits in his career. Okay, let me move on from baseball to hockey, where I give you an update on the National Hockey League for this season. The Anaheim Mighty Ducks will be on 690 XTRA, I believe from last season. The NHL guide couldn't even tell me the current station, so we'll see. Boston Bruins, 1030 WBZ. Buffalo Sabres, 107.7 WNZA. Carolina Hurricanes out of Raleigh, 850 WRBZ, call the buzz. Calgary Flames were listed as being on 920, the team, but no call letters. Chicago Blackhawks, 670 WSCR. Colorado Avalanche out of Denver, 950 KKFN. Columbus Blue Jackets, 1460 WBNS, 101.1 WWCD. Dallas Stars, 820 WBAP, Daryl Rio and Ralph Stranges. Edmonton Oilers, 630 CHED. Florida Panthers out of Sunrise, suburb Miami, 560 WQAM plus four others. Los Angeles Kings, 1110 KSPN plus a seven station network with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans. Montreal Canadiens, English, 800 CJAD, French, 730 CKAC. The internet site was completely in French, so I had to go to use the NHL guide. Minnesota Wild on 830 WCCO, in any conflicts with others listed was 950 KDOW, announcers Bob Kurtz and Barry Butel. New Jersey Devils, 770 WABC. New York Islanders moved from 92.7 to 620 WSNR, Newark, New Jersey. New York Rangers, 660 WFAN. Nashville Predators, 99.7 WWTN. Ottawa Senators, English, 1200 CFGO, 1150 CJRC in French. Philadelphia Flyers, 610 WIP. Pittsburgh Penguins, 970 WBGG, 1025 WDVE. Phoenix Coyotes, 1060 KDUS, call the deuce, and 93.3 KDKB in Mesa. St. Louis Blues, 550 KTRS. San Jose Sharks, 98.5 KUFX, call the fox. Tampa Bay Lightning, 1250 WDAE. One of the color men is former star Phil Esposito. Toronto Maple Leafs, 640 CFYI. Vancouver Canucks, 980 CKNW. And Washington Capitals, 980 WTEM. A brief glance at the NBA for the new season shows only a few changes that I've noticed at a preview magazine at Borders Bookstore. Boston Celtics have moved from 850 WEI to 1510 WZZM. Detroit Pistons from 950 over to 1130 WDFN. Dallas Mavericks from 570 over to 103.3 KESN in suburban Allen. And Los Angeles Clippers, 1150 KXTA. We'll have more in next edition. Anyway, okay, that does it for sports for now. Wherever you're living across the United States and wherever, hope you're remaining safe and calm. Hope you enjoyed DX whenever possible. And enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. And the best to you and yours, from my family to you. See you next month, friends, and keep safe. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ken. Now let's turn our attention over to the news before we flip over to side two of this tape. General Motors of Canada Limited, GMCL, announced that GM will become the first automaker to deliver factory-installed DAB, that's digital audio broadcasting technology, to the automobile marketplace. This development is the culmination of a strategic alliance formed between GM of Canada and Digital Radio Rollout Incorporated, DRRI. The two have been working together since 1998 to develop a made-in-Canada digital radio solution. The Oshawa-built Chevrolet Impala and Monte Carlo will be among the first models available with DAB. Currently, more than 55 DAB stations have made service available to 10 million people in Vancouver, Toronto, Windsor, and Montreal. Ottawa is next in line to be added to the market list, with preparation underway for an air date of early 2002. Planned expansion into other major corridors will add a series of markets including Hamilton, Kitchener, London, Guelph, Cornwall, Calgary, Red Deer, Edmonton, Quebec City, and Chilliwack. Digital Radio Rollout is a non-profit joint initiative of major private broadcasters, Astral Media, Chum Group, Chorus Entertainment, Rogers Media, Standard Radio, Telemedia Radio, and a number of smaller broadcasters and public broadcasters, including the CBC, with the support of the Canadian government. DRRI's mandate is the introduction of digital audio broadcasting service across Canada. DAB is a replacement technology for current AM and FM analog transmissions in Canada. Also, a press release from November 5th says that Radio Shack of Canada announced that it will become the first retail chain to carry a line of DAB products for the home and portable markets. Planned products include boomboxes, Walkman-style devices, and DAB computer attachments. Introduction is scheduled for early 2002. This latest development is the culmination of discussions between Radio Shack of Canada and DRRI, which began earlier this year. And on this side of the border, GM begins production of XM-equipped Cadillacs. This news from a press release from Hamtramck, Michigan on November the 5th. A new sound was heard inside the Detroit Hamtramck Assembly Center when GM began producing XM satellite radio-equipped Cadillacs. Cadillac is offering XM as an option in their 2002 DeVille and Seville models. GM will expand availability to over 20 additional models in 2003. The service price for XM's 100 channels is $9.95 per month, which customers who lease or finance through GMAC can roll into their monthly car payments. Thank you, but no, I'll take my GE Super Radio and N-Dash Radio I've got right now.
Oh, 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 oh.
Merry Christmas from Power 104.
Hey, members, just a quick hustle before we flip over to side two of this tape, as Ed Potter would say. If you'd like to give a gift of the DX Audio Service this holiday season, don't forget that if you sign up a new member to the DX Audio Service, not only do you give a gift, but you get one as well, because I'll give you 2 months added on to your DX Audio Service just for signing up a new member. I'll also send them a Christmas card letting them know that you care enough about them to sign them up to the best radio magazine on tape, and that is, of course, the DX Audio Service. All you need to do is send in the person's name, address, city, state, zip, if possible, a telephone number, and, of course, $28 to the U.S., $32 to Canada, and $40 elsewhere. Send it to me here at the DX Audio Service, and we'll take care of the rest. And don't forget, you get 2 months added onto your subscription. Okay, guys, let's flip.
920 KELP El Paso!